that's not going to happen when you have a tight budget environment like we do now. And, you know, actually, it's interesting. We've actually kind of looked back at some of the other budgets since I've been here, and that would, of course, be President Bush and President Obama. And I'm not sure I've ever been completely happy with the president's budget, you know. And sometimes it's, you know, just about priorities. And I've felt like over the years that the White House does not prioritize rural America like they should. So basically what that means is Arkansas a lot of times gets left behind in the president's budget. I think that's the case this year as well. So it's hard to make everybody happy, and I understand that. But I think what your listeners need to know is this is the beginning point of the budget process, not the end. And the way the law works is the president submits his budget, then we do it through the House and the Senate. And, you know, we're just really starting that process right now.
And if rural America tends to not have an advantage on the budget proposals, part of that is because fewer people live in rural Arkansas, right? On one level, it's politics.
It is. There's a lot of politics there, and it's the numbers. And if you look at the House, look at the Senate, you're right, it's the numbers. But what we also have to remember is rural America has challenges because of the sparse population. So, for example, one of the things that is in this budget that I don't like is there's several rural drinking water programs. There's three different programs that we use quite a bit in Arkansas, and those are being cut, and they're not being totally eliminated, but they're being cut, and that means there's going to be less money for good, clean drinking water in Arkansas. And as we all know, a lot of these rural water systems, they went in maybe in the 60s or 70s, and they're at or beyond their life expectancy right now. So we need to be investing in that kind of infrastructure, not cutting it.
Sometimes that is not, as is sometimes said, as sexy as other budget items.
No, it's really not. And you know, a lot of times what people focus on, and you know, politicians and the news media are both kind of guilty of this, where they'll focus on a few big ticket, you know, like you said, sexy items, and, you know, it could be a lot of different things, but a lot of times it's defense cuts or something like that. But the truth is you have to look at the whole budget. And here's the other thing that your listeners need to know is that even though there are a lot of people here in Washington who have been saying that we haven't had a budget in 1,000 days, that's not exactly true. Last year, the House and the Senate passed the Budget Control Act, and it was signed by the president. It has the force of law. Usually what we do is we pass a budget resolution that never goes to the president. It's just basically a resolution between the House and the Senate, and that gives us the blueprint on how we then will spend the money. So that's a budget resolution. We actually do have a budget right now, technically, and it's the Budget Control Act, because what we're doing is we're cutting spending out over the next 10 years, and this president's budget meets the thresholds, meets the caps in the Budget Control Act. So to say we don't have a budget and haven't had a budget in 1,000 days is not exactly accurate.
If you look at any poll, almost any poll, there seems to be a significant amount of people, over 50%, who say, yes, they want to cut the debt. Then when you single out specific places for cutting, almost nothing gets 50%.
Yeah, that's
so. So, do you and your colleagues talk about this? I mean, there's one message to do one thing, and then another message, you know, no one wants their ox gored.
That's right, and that's kind of the way it works at our house too. You know, Jill and I will say, "Hey, we need to cut our spending and whatnot," and then when you're actually looking at something to cut, it gets hard. But I'm kind of joking about that. But it really is true. What we're doing is we are cutting our discretionary spending. There's no doubt. I mean, again, not everybody in Washington or every, you know, political party wants to admit this, but we are cutting our spending. And we've set a 10-year budget through the Budget Control Act. We're stair-stepping our spending, and it's going in the right direction. It's not going there enough and really fast enough, but regardless of that, there is a political reality to cutting the budget. When you cut the budget, people complain. And I'm going to tell you, I have people come in my office all the time. They're great, and I want to help them, and I believe in what they're saying. And they may be in here talking about Head Start, or they may be talking about, you know, some flood control project with the Corps of Engineers. They may be talking about the 188th with the A-10s down in Fort Smith. You know, I'm for all of those things. I'm for every single one of them. But the reality is there has to be some give somewhere in the budget. So we're going to fight hard for Arkansas. I'm going to do everything I can. For example, on those on the 188, the A-10s down in Fort Smith, I had a meeting on that today, and I had a meeting last week on that to try to impress upon the Pentagon how important I believe it is to keep those A-10s in Fort Smith. And I think we have ample justification for doing that. I wouldn't do that unless I felt like we had a very strong military readiness case to make, which I think we do on those.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask about the process. I mean, you and your partner in the Senate, Senator John Bozeman, often will say, I want to fight for Arkansas. You have two senators who want to fight for Wyoming, two who want to fight for Rhode Island. At what point can the compromises be made?
Well, that's just how our system works, and we're all here to represent our state's interests, but we're also here to do the right thing. And the way it should work best is the Congress should help build national consensus. And so there's pretty clearly a consensus right now that we need to cut our spending, but also cut the deficit. By the way, that's not necessarily the same thing. You can cut spending and still create more deficit if you cut taxes more than you're cutting your spending. So, and that's what some people want to do. And in fact, there was a budget that was offered last year, and that's exactly what it did. It had huge tax cuts in it and huge spending cuts, but still at the end of the day, we weren't balancing, or weren't coming anywhere close to balancing the budget. So anyway, there's a lot of games that get played around this, but we fight hard. I can't speak for every delegation, but in Arkansas, we're going to fight hard. We're going to try to be fair. We're going to listen to other states and other considerations, but it's the A-10s are a good example down in Fort Smith. I would not say a word about that if I didn't feel very strongly that those guys are the best prepared, they're the best trained, there's the lowest cost, and it's the most effective A-10 unit in the whole National Guard system. You can look at it, and the National Guard is much, much cheaper to operate than active duty. So why are we cutting, if we're trying to save money, why in the world are we cutting the most cost-effective unit we have? It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, those are discussions we're going to have up here, and we're going to be talking to the Air Force, talking to the Pentagon, talking to other senators and congressmen about that.
Senator Pryor, thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you.